Today on the Perception in Action podcast, a few personal updates and a preview of my next book, The Advanced Ecological Approach to Skill Development, getting more out of the constraints-led approach. So it's time for a call to action. Hi, this is Rob Gray from Arizona State University. I've been on a now over 25-year journey as a researcher, professor, and high-performance consultant to understand how we acquire and adapt our perceptual motor skills. Welcome to the Perception in Action podcast, where I discuss how psychological research can be applied to improving performance, accelerating skill acquisition, and designing technologies. Now on to the show. Hi, everyone. So in this episode, I'm just kind of going to go off the cuff and give you a few personal updates and tell you what's going on with me and tell you about my new book I'm busy at work on, which I'm aiming for late fall finish and publication. But first, a few other things. So before I get to that, I have another new book that should be coming the end of this month. This is a book, if you follow me at all, you probably heard about it through other sources. This is a book I collaborated with Sean Mishka and Tyler Yearby from Emergence on basically this is an ecological approach to skill development in American football, right? Which Sean and Tyler work very extensively in and know a lot more about me than I do. I was very happy to join them with them on this book. I think you'll really enjoy it if you work in that area. I think like with all these types of books, I think it's useful to understand. Even if you don't, there's a lot of very practical examples of, you know, using constraints, games, different, you know, small-sided games, different practice activities to encourage, you know, different movement solutions, emphasize different affordances. So look for that. That should be coming soon on Amazon within, you know, I think by the end of July, I think, or early August. So that's coming soon. The second update I wanted to mention, speaking of Emergence, a couple of weeks ago, I attended their Sport Movement Skill Conference, the conference that Emergence hosts on skill acquisition. They've done it virtually for the last few years. This was the first year back in person in Minneapolis, St. Paul area. It was very, very good. I got to meet a few people that are, you know, part of my Patreon coaching group in person, which is really fun. Some great presentations, had a great round table with Tom Stofgren from the University of Minnesota, great researcher on what are affordances. That was a lot of fun. A lot of practical things. At the conference, Sean and Tyler previewed, well, actually they're starting this new initiative. I think maybe you've heard of, it's called the Certified Skill Acquisition Specialists. So it's basically giving you some credentials for being a skill acquisition specialist. So we had, that was the first group to go into that was, to do that was at the conference. So it's very involved. You know, you have to test your knowledge. You know, they had to design a practice activity for this in the moment, right? So a lot of adaptability and dexterity had to be demonstrated by these people. And it was really fun to watch. I was part of the evaluation process. So it was really enjoyable. If you're interested, check that out. And the last thing I wanted to mention today is my next book, which I guess, as I said at the start, is the fourth in the series. So How We Learn to Move, Learning to Optimize Movement, Learning to Be an Ecological Coach. And this one I've titled The Advanced Ecological Approach to Skill Development, Getting More Out of the Constraints-Led Approach. This kind of book I had, kind of three motivations. One is I get a lot of questions and emails, I would say a couple per week, of people that are really into ecological dynamics, constraints-led approach, and how to apply it to their sport. You know, recently, I've been talking with someone getting really interested in applying it to cycling. We've been applying, you know, it's getting huge in BJJ, mixed martial arts community, police training. So lots of exciting initiatives. Lots of people asking how they can take it further and go further. And, you know, I'm having trouble keeping up with my correspondence. So I decided, let's just put all these things in a book, right? That's where I let everybody read them. So that's the motivation. Two, I want to kind of take it beyond, in the book I call it Going Beyond Ecological Dynamics 101. So I think a lot of people are getting good at the basics. How can we take it to the next level? Okay, so I'm going to talk about that. And then finally addressing some things, you know, so I obviously I'm a skill acquisition specialist in baseball for the last several years. Also, I do a lot of individual consulting, one-off things with teams in other sports and Olympic sports, basketball, hockey, you know, lots. So I had the chance to observe over the last year how coaches are implementing these ideas. And I want to say, you know, there's a lot of progress, but I think some areas that we can take and we can make some additional progress. So I'm going to pull those out as I go along. So in this book, if you enjoyed, I got a lot of good feedback on my last book, The Learning to Be an Ecological Approach Coach. I think people appreciated the very practical, giving you specific ideas for how to implement this. This book is, I'm trying to do more of that, but there's definitely going to be some theory. So let me go through kind of, I'll go chapter by chapter. So the first two chapters I'm calling a grad course in ecological dynamics. Here is where I'm not going to be very practical. I'm going to introduce you to two kind of theoretical concepts that I think kind of take things to the next level. And later on, I'm going to show you how to apply them in the book. But it's pretty heavy at first going the first chapter. I'm going to introduce you to people, the coordination dynamics, Kelso's ideas, right? You know, what exactly is an attractor, right? What exactly is that? And what do we get trajectories through solution space and all these ideas? I want to get into a bit of the nitty gritty of that. Again, I'm going to show you how I use that in practice later on. That's going to be the first chapter. The second chapter, I'm going to get into talking about the inertia tensor, which and dynamic touch information. So this is Michael Turvey's work, right? Michael Turvey's great work showing you how they're specifying information from in the form of inertia. And when we wield an object that tells you so many things about, also I'm going to show you lots of research showing you there's so many things you can tell about an object, you know, a stick, a club, a bat, just by moving it around without even looking at it, right? You can tell so many things about it. And that's going to extend to their idea that that's how we perceive our body, the location and movement of our body, okay? So those are the first two chapters. Those are kind of heavy theory going. But then I'm going to get a bit more practical. So I'm third chapter, talk about more about variability of practice. You know, I often say variability of practice is the lowest hanging fruit in coaching practice design. If I continue that analogy, I think we're leaving some things on the vine, right? Everyone's focused, everyone understands blocked versus random, right? And I think I want to move you beyond that, right? Be showing other ways we can add variability to practice and thinking about what's good variability, what's going to be effective variability in practice, what's not, right? I think we need to put a little more thought into that. Then I'm going to get into the concept of educating attention and how variability of practice facilitates that. Then I'm going to do a related thing. We were still talking about direct learning. I'm talking about educating intention, right? I'm going to talk about how I think that is how we should conceptualize our instruction, how we conceptualize principles of play, all within the concept of education of intention, okay? Then in chapter six, I'm going to revisit the constraints-led approach, the logic of it. You know, my last ecological coach, I laid out some steps that I use, right? And I'm going to get into this important issue I see a fair amount when a constraint is no longer a constraint, right? And if anyone that saw my presentation, I posted the title slide, some people ask me if there's a copy online. I'm going to get into all that stuff in this book, okay? So I think this is an important issue that I'll just... chapter 7, I'm going to talk about a concept that I like to use called the dials of a constraint activity, right? Things you can turn up and down to adjust the difficulty and why this is so much of a better approach than the fundamentals first idea, which I'm going to present more evidence against that. Chapter 8, I'm going to talk about how we can track progress in our athletes by using what I call the method of progressive constraints. Chapter 9 will be representative design clarified and championed. I see some confusion. People are still confusing representativeness and specificity, an issue I went into a lot in my last book. And always talking about how high is my representativeness, right? And trying to get is my representativeness high enough, right? I think that's the wrong way to think about it. I'm going to talk about that. Chapter 10. How can we apply that thing I talked about in the first chapter, Kelso's coordination dynamics, to understanding team sports, right? Interpersonal interactions in team sports. Then I'm going to get into attractors and invariants, getting more and more popular thing coming up now, you know, in things like, you know, things like Greg Souders talks about invariants a lot, and people are, you know, how and the subtitle of this chapter is coaching to the points of stability in the system, right? That's what I really I think you should think about this in terms of funnels, right? Funnel of variability, allowing the athlete to do what they want until they reach this key point, the invariants. Related to that, I'm going to talk about how you can identify your athlete's quote unquote intrinsic dynamics. We'll talk a little bit about what intrinsic dynamics exactly are, again, in terms of Kelso's work. And then we'll talk about how we can, in practice, can we use that idea and identify it more readily, right? Then I'm going to talk about using biomechanical data, in particular Markerless Motion Tracker, how I use it, right? How if we move from thinking in terms of absolutes, this is the value of something you have to have, to relative, how you, the value of this changes when the constraints change. I think that's way more valuable. Then we'll talk about a little bit about talent ID and using the idea of can we use adaptability as a measure of how someone's potential. Then ecological approach to skill maintenance. When we're talking more, I'm going to get more into how I work with elite athletes, getting away from the idea of automation and things like that. What should we be doing when maintaining a skill? Then chapter 16, I call sciencing the shit out of warm-up and activation activities. Sciencing the beep out of warm-up and activation sessions. How can we apply the concepts of things like the inertia tensor to designing warm-ups, right? So instead of having people just do random stuff, right? There's a room for fun and playing around, but I think we can start shaping and guiding the movement solution in warm-ups and activation activities. Thoughts on blending the goals of practice, train to learn, train to perform, and train to maintain. I'll talk about that in the next chapter. Then I'm going to get into the dynamical systems perspective on injury prevention. How can we, thinking about how we can start to move towards preventing injuries and detecting them before they occur, okay? Chapter 19, a theoretically driven but practical approach to practice scheduling, load monitoring, and periodization. Here I'm going to throw in some of my own ideas and lean on some of the more recent work by Audi and colleagues, looking at, for example, in basketball. I'll talk about some of their recent research. Then chapter 20, mastering the art of reflection and questioning in ecological coaching, right? Talking a little bit about how to build on your practice activities, thinking about what worked and what didn't, getting your athletes' input, and how to use questioning, how questioning can be used to guide. Right, an overall theme I think I've also seen in coaching is coaching, we've had such a movement away from overly technical coaching, and coaches talk a lot, talking too much, which is great. I think sometimes we go too far in the other direction, right? We don't say anything at all when the athlete's struggling and they're having trouble solving the movement problem you created for them. We don't want to do that either, right? We want to guide our athletes. So we're going to talk about how we can do that with questions, for example. And then chapter 121, I'm going to do some reflecting on things I've learned. I call them hard lessons I've learned from being a skill acquisition specialist in professional sports. Some of the things I've learned that don't work, that do work, some ways to get things to work I've come up with and things like that. So that's it. So I think, I hope you enjoy it. You know, I think a lot of interesting topics, both theoretical and applied, try to blend the two. If you want to learn more about any of my books, will always be, if you go to my website, perceptionaction.com, look up top, there's the things called books, or you could go to perceptionaction.com/book. You will see a list of everything coming out. So you'll see there's a thing for the football book. As soon as I get a link to buy it, I'll put it up there. And the thing for this book. So as I said, it's called The Advanced Ecological Approach to Skill Development, Getting More Out of the Constraints-Led Approach to Coaching. As I said, I'm aiming for late fall, maybe November, December. Okay, I don't want to commit to a date because I did that last time and I didn't deliver. So it all depends on how busy I get and how much time I have to write and edit and things like that. But that's what's coming soon. So hopefully, if you're interested, you'll enjoy that. Okay, that's it for today's episode. Remember, you can contact me at robgray@asu.edu or follow me on Twitter at ShakyWeights. To find out more about the podcast, please check out perceptionaction.com. Finally, to support the podcast and receive bonus materials, including a monthly coaches meetup, please head over to patreon.com/perceptionaction. This is Rob Gray from ASU. Cheers for now, and keep them coupled.